Hey everyone and welcome. Today we're doing a deep dive into preparing for a hip or knee replacement.
Awesome.
We've got this incredible guide from NMC Health. They're known for their amazing joint replacement program.
Yeah, they are.
So we're going to go step by step and really break it all down for you guys so you can feel confident and prepared every step of the way.
Sounds great.
All right, so the guide starts off talking about all the things you can do before surgery to set yourself up for success. And it really emphasizes how much of an impact this pre-op phase can have on your recovery.
It is a huge part of it. And NMC Health really emphasizes that having a healthier body overall just helps you heal faster and bounce back quicker.
Yeah.
They're all about minimizing risks and giving you the best possible outcome, you know, really setting you up for success.
I love that, setting you up for success.
Okay.
Okay. So what's step one in this pre-surgery prep?
Appointments. Lots of appointments.
Of course.
The most important one is the one that's scheduled about 2 weeks before surgery. And during that appointment, you'll meet with the surgeon's assistant. You'll have a CT scan done, and they'll really map out the whole plan for after surgery with you so that you're totally comfortable with what to expect.
Got it. So it's all about communication, making sure everything is clear, and you've got a personalized plan.
Absolutely.
What else should we be thinking about at this stage?
Well, you want to make sure you've got clearance from all your doctors, your primary care physician, and any specialists, you might say like a cardiologist or an endocrinologist, just to make sure everything's good to go on their end.
Okay, so it's all systems go from all your doctors.
Exactly.
Okay, this one surprised me. They really emphasize dental health. I had no idea that could impact joint replacement.
Yeah, and it's all about minimizing the risk of infection.
Makes sense.
So they recommend getting any dental work taken care of at least 3 weeks before surgery.
Okay.
And then holding off on any non-urgent dental procedures for at least 3 months after your joint replacement.
Wow.
Yeah, they don't want any bacteria from your mouth getting into your bloodstream and potentially causing an infection at the surgical site.
That is crazy. I never would have thought of that.
Yeah.
All right, dental health. Check. The guide also dives into diet, which obviously plays a role in overall health, but how does it specifically relate to joint replacement recovery?
Well, a healthy diet is super important for recovery. You know, think of it this way. Your body's working overtime to heal those tissues and build new bone, so it needs all the right nutrients to do that efficiently.
Okay, that makes sense.
Plus, studies have actually shown that a healthy diet can reduce the risk of complications after surgery.
Wow, so it's not just about feeling good, it's about really helping your body heal.
Exactly.
All right, so what should we be loading up on? Give us the winning pre-surgery meal plan.
It's really simple. Focus on natural, unprocessed foods, fresh fruits and vegetables, whole grains.
Okay.
You know, real whole foods that are packed with nutrients.
So ditch the processed stuff. Got it.
Exactly.
And what about foods we should avoid?
You'll want to limit red meat, sugar, and saturated fats.
Okay.
And those processed foods, they're often loaded with inflammatory compounds that can slow down healing.
Interesting. So we're basically giving our bodies the best possible fuel to recover strong.
Exactly.
Okay, what about weight management? I know that's a big factor in overall health. But how does it specifically relate to joint replacement?
Well, carrying extra weight puts more stress on that new joint.
Okay.
And it can also make it harder for your body to fight off infection.
That makes sense.
So if you have a BMI over 30, it's worth talking to your doctor about ways to manage your weight before surgery.
All right. So taking that stress off the new joint is super important. And of course, we can't talk about pre-surgery prep without addressing smoking.
Oh, yeah. Smoking is a huge red flag when it comes to complications.
Why is that?
Nicotine messes with wound healing, increases the risk of infection, and it even interferes with bone healing.
Wow. So it's really impacting the whole process.
Yeah. And NMC Health takes it very seriously. They'll actually do a blood test 2 weeks before surgery to check your smoking status.
So if you're thinking about quitting, now is the time.
Absolutely. They want you to be in the best possible shape for this. And that includes being smoke-free for at least 4 weeks before surgery.
Got it. Smoking, another thing to check off the list. Now, the guide also mentions vitamin D. What's the connection there?
Well, studies have shown that having low vitamin D levels can lead to more complications after surgery.
Oh, wow.
But the good news is it's an easy fix. They recommend taking 2,000 to 3,000 IU of vitamin D daily, starting before surgery and continuing for at least 6 weeks afterwards.
All right, so vitamin D, check. Now let's talk pain management. I know that's a big concern for anyone facing surgery.
Of course, yeah.
What is NMC Health's approach?
Well, they're really big on using a multi-pronged approach to manage pain.
Okay.
and they try to minimize the need for those heavy-duty narcotics. So they'll start with pain blocks before surgery, and they'll also do joint injections during the surgery itself to help with pain control. They really try to tackle it from all angles.
That's great to hear. So they're really proactive about pain management.
Absolutely.
But what about those stronger medications like opioids? I know a lot of people are worried about those.
Rightfully so, yeah.
Side effects and potential for addiction, that could be scary.
Totally. And NMC Health recognizes that, so they only use opioids as a last resort for severe pain that isn't managed with other methods.
Okay.
They emphasize other things like Tylenol, anti-inflammatories, ice, elevation, and rest.
Right, so it's about finding that balance.
Exactly.
That makes me feel a lot better about the whole pain management piece. Mm. Now, what about infection? That's another big concern when it comes to surgery.
Oh, absolutely. Infection is a big deal, and NMC Health is super proactive about preventing it.
How so?
Well, for starters, they have a strict protocol that involves using a special antibacterial soap called CHG Cleanser for 3 days before surgery. Yeah. It's all about making sure your skin is as clean as possible before you even step into the operating room.
So it's not just a quick shower the morning of, it's a whole process.
Oh yeah, it's very specific. They give you detailed instructions on how to use it. They're very serious about this.
Wow, it's amazing how much goes into preparing for surgery. It's like a whole operation in itself.
It really is.
And there's still more, right? We haven't even talked about getting your home ready or choosing a support person.
Right. There are a couple more things to cover. We need to talk about the joint coach.
The joint coach? What's that?
That's the person you choose to be your support system before, during, and after surgery.
Okay, so it's like having your own personal cheerleader throughout the process.
Exactly. This person can help you keep track of your medications, assist with things like icing, and provide emotional support, especially in those first few weeks after surgery when you might need an extra hand.
I love that. It's like having a teammate.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so you've got your joint coach by your side. What about prepping your home? What kind of things should we be thinking about there?
Well, you want to make your home as recovery-friendly as possible.
Okay, yeah.
So think about safety and ease of movement.
Okay.
Secure any loose rugs or carpets. Clear pathways so you can easily maneuver with a walker, add some nightlights, and maybe even install grab bars in the bathroom.
Okay.
And it's also a good idea to prepare some easy-to-make meals ahead of time so you don't have to worry about cooking in those first few days.
Right. That makes sense. So we're basically setting up a recovery oasis, a safe, comfortable space where you can really focus on healing.
Exactly.
And there's one more thing you can do to prepare your body for the big day.
Oh, what's that?
Exercises.
Oh, that's right.
Exercises before surgery. Tell me more about that.
It might seem counterintuitive, but these exercises are really designed to strengthen the muscles around your joint and improve your flexibility, which can actually help speed up your recovery.
Wow. So it's like prehab for your joint.
Exactly.
What kind of exercises are we talking about?
There are a few key ones. Straight leg raises, heel slides, seated hamstring stretches, hip abduction, and sit to stand.
Right.
And the guidebook has clear instructions for each of those exercises.
All right, so we've got appointments, diet, weight management, smoking, vitamin D, pain management, infection prevention, choosing a joint coach, prepping our home, and pre-surgery exercises. Wow, we've covered so much ground, and that's just the pre-surgery prep.
I know, right? It's a lot to take in, but it's all about setting you up for the best possible outcome. NMC Health really emphasizes that preparation is key.
And I feel like we've only just scratched the surface. There's still the day of surgery and the whole recovery process to talk about. But we'll save that for next time. Stay tuned for part two of this deep dive where we'll walk you through what to expect on the actual day of surgery.
Sounds good. All right. Welcome back. Are you ready to step into the operating room?
Oh, I don't know about that. The operating room still makes me a little nervous.
I totally get it. It's a big day. But don't worry. You won't actually be stepping anywhere you'll be wheeled in.
True. Good point.
But seriously, knowing what to expect can really help calm those nerves.
Absolutely.
So let's break down surgery day, NMC Health style. They've got this whole process designed to be as smooth and stress-free as possible.
Okay, good. I need that. So let's walk through it. What happens when I first get to the hospital?
Well, it starts with checking in, just like any other hospital visit.
Right.
You'll head to the registration desk. They'll verify all your information, your insurance, make sure everything's in order.
Got it. Check in. Paperwork, the usual.
Exactly. And they'll take care of any copays or anything like that.
Okay. Makes sense. Then what?
Then you'll be taken to the preoperative care area. This is where you'll hang out with, one or two family members while you wait.
Oh, that's nice. So you're not alone.
Yeah, you get to have some familiar faces there with you.
What happens in this pre-op area?
The nurses will come by to do a few things, like get your health history, do a quick physical assessment, start an IV, and even give you this special nasal sanitizer.
Oh, wow. A nasal sanitizer. I've never heard of that.
It's all about minimizing the risk of infection. Remember, they're very serious about that.
Right. They really are.
You'll also meet with the anesthesiologist to talk through your options for anesthesia. Most joint replacement at NMC Health are done under a spinal, which means you'll be numb from the waist down, but you'll be awake.
Okay.
But don't worry, they'll give you medication to help you relax.
Good, because I think I'll need that. And I assume I'll get to see my surgeon one last time before heading into the operating room.
Absolutely. Your surgeon will come by to confirm everything, answer any last-minute questions, and they'll mark the surgical site.
So prepped, marked, ready to roll.
Exactly.
What happens next?
Then it's showtime.
Here we go.
The surgical team will escort you to the operating room, and then once the surgery is over, you'll wake up in the recovery room.
Okay, so it's all kind of a blur at that point.
Yeah, pretty much. You'll be taken to the PCU, the post-anesthesia care unit.
PE, got it.
And they'll monitor you closely there, make sure you're comfortable, and give you pain medication to manage any discomfort.
Okay, so they're taking good care of me. What happens after the PCU?
Well, it depends on whether you're staying overnight or going home the same day. If you're staying overnight, they'll take you to your hospital room, get you settled in. But if you're going home that day, they'll take you to a short stay room just to make sure you're stable and your pain's managed, and you can move around okay before they send you on your way.
Makes sense. They want to make sure you're good to go.
Absolutely.
So we've checked in, prepped, had the surgery, recovered a bit. Now we're ready to go home and really start that recovery process. That's what we'll dive into in part three. Okay, we're back, ready to tackle this whole recovery thing.
You got it. This is where the real work begins, but it's also where you start to see the amazing results of all that preparation we talked about.
I'm ready to feel like a brand new person. But first, let's talk about pain management. What can I expect in those first few days and weeks after surgery?
Well, the first thing to know is that pain after surgery, it's totally normal. Your body's healing, So the goal isn't to get rid of pain completely, but to manage it so that you can rest and start moving again.
That makes sense. So how do we manage it? What does NMC Health recommend?
They emphasize a multi-pronged approach, and it starts with those good old basics: rest, ice, and elevation.
Right, the RICE protocol. But they don't just mean icing a couple times a day, right?
No, they're really
Yeah.
specific about it. For the first 3 days after surgery, you want to be icing consistently throughout the day, like every couple of hours. And even after that, you'll still be icing for 20 minutes at a time, with at least an hour between sessions.
Wow. Okay. So ice is key. What about medications?
They usually prescribe a combination of Tylenol and an anti-inflammatory called meloxicam. You'll take these on a regular schedule for the first 3 weeks, even if you're not in a lot of pain.
Really? Even if you're not in pain.
Yeah, it helps to stay ahead of it.
That's interesting. Okay, so proactive pain management. What if those medications aren't enough?
They might also give you a short course of oral steroids to help with inflammation. And then for those breakthrough pain moments, you'll likely have a prescription for something stronger, like oxycodone or tramadol.
Got it. So stronger meds as needed.
Exactly. But they emphasize that those are just for breakthrough pain and should be used sparingly.
Okay, good to know. So we've got our pain management plan. What else should we be thinking about during recovery?
Well, it's always a good idea to be aware of any potential complications, even though they're rare. The guidebook has a whole section on warning signs to watch out for, things like infection, blood clots, and pulmonary embolism.
Oh, wow. That sounds a little scary. What are some of those red flags?
Well, with infection, you want to watch for any drainage from your incision or if you get a fever over 101. And for blood clots, which are also called DVT, look out for increasing pain in your calf or if it feels tender or swollen.
Okay, what about a pulmonary embolism? That's a blood clot in the lung, right?
Yep. And with that, you might experience sudden shortness of breath, chest pain, or a sharp pain when you cough.
Okay, so those are definitely things I'll be watching for. Now, the guide also mentions something called nuisance symptoms. What are those?
Those are basically things that are pretty common after surgery, but don't usually affect how happy you are with the joint replacement overall. Things like having trouble kneeling or not being able to run or jump as well as you used to.
So those are kind of normal, but not necessarily a big deal.
Exactly. They usually go away on their own as you heal.
Okay, good to know. Now let's talk about swelling. I feel like that's inevitable after surgery.
Oh yeah, swelling is super common, but there are definitely things you can do to manage it. Keep that leg elevated, ice it regularly, and get plenty of rest.
Okay, so the good old RICEY protocol strikes again. Anything else for swelling?
They also say to avoid doing too much walking or exercise in those first few weeks. You want to gradually increase your activity level as you start feeling stronger. And no resistance exercises for at least 6 weeks.
Got it. Slow and steady. Now, let's talk about blood clots. I always thought those were more of a concern during long flights, but sounds like they can be an issue after surgery, too.
You're right. Blood clots are definitely something to be aware of after any surgery, but especially orthopedic surgery.
Why is that?
Well, it's because surgery can sometimes disrupt the blood flow, which can make it easier for clots to form.
Makes sense. So what can be done to prevent blood clots?
NMC Health has a three-pronged approach: compression, medication, and movement. They'll put compression wraps on your legs during and after surgery to help improve blood flow, and they usually prescribe a medication like aspirin to help prevent clots from forming.
And what about the movement part? I thought we were supposed to be resting.
Rest is important, but so is getting up and moving around, even if it's just a little bit. It helps to get that blood flowing and prevents clots from forming. They recommend taking short walks, like 5-10 steps every hour, and doing those ankle pumps regularly.
Okay, so movement is key, even small movements.
Mm.
What else should we know about navigating life at home after surgery?
Well, the guidebook has a lot of practical advice, things like how to shower after surgery and tips for taking care of your lungs.
Oh, tell me about showering. Can I even shower with the bandage on?
You actually can. Those bandages are water resistant. Just avoid soaking in the bath or going for a swim. And if you want some extra protection, you can wrap the area in plastic wrap before you hop in the shower.
That's good to know. What about taking care of your lungs?
It's as simple as taking deep breaths and coughing every couple of hours. It helps to clear your lungs and prevent things like pneumonia, which can sometimes happen after surgery.
Okay, that's easy enough. So we've covered pain management, potential complications, swelling, blood clots, showering, and even lung care. What else is there to think about as we're recovering at home?
Let's talk about equipment and all those helpful therapy tips.
Perfect. What kind of equipment will I need to have at home?
Well, most people will need a walker after surgery to help them get around safely. But the good news is that insurance usually covers it, so you don't need to buy one beforehand.
Oh, thank goodness. I was already picturing myself trying to navigate those clunky walkers through the grocery store.
Nope. The hospital will provide you with one. And if you're having a hip replacement, they'll give you a special hip kit, too.
A hip kit? What's in that?
It has all sorts of helpful gadgets, things like a long-handled shoehorn, a long-handled sponge for reaching those tricky spots, a reacher grabber thing, and even a sock donner so you can put on your socks without bending over too far.
Wow, those sound amazing.
Yeah.
What about other equipment like shower chairs or raised toilet seats?
Yeah, your physical therapist might recommend some additional things, but those usually aren't covered by insurance.
Okay, so walker, hip kit, and then any extras as needed. Got it. Now, let's talk therapy tips. I know there are certain precautions you have to take after a hip replacement to avoid dislocating your hip. That sounds scary.
It's definitely something to be mindful of, but as long as you follow the guidelines, you should be fine. NMC Health is very clear about these precautions, and they emphasize them for the first 6 weeks after surgery. Basically, you want to avoid bending forward at the waist or hip more than 90 degrees.
Okay, so no deep bending.
Right, and you don't want to turn your surgical leg inward.
Got it.
And finally, don't cross your legs at the knee.
So no bending, turning, or crossing. What else can I do to protect my hip?
They also recommend sleeping with a pillow between your knees to help keep your hips aligned. Might feel a bit weird at first, but it's worth it.
Okay, pillow between the knees, check. What other therapy tips do they offer?
Oh, the guide has all sorts of practical advice, like how to navigate stairs, get in and out of chairs, and even how to get dressed after surgery.
Oh, those are things I was wondering about.
With stairs, remember. Up with the good, down with the bad. So when you're going up, lead with your non-surgical leg. When you're going down, lead with your surgical leg.
Okay, so reverse it depending on if I'm going up or down. What about chairs?
Use your arms to help you push yourself up and lower yourself down. If you need to, add a pillow or cushion to the seat to make it a little higher and easier to stand up.
Good tip. What about getting in and out of cars? I imagine that could be tricky.
The key is to sit down first, then swing your legs into the car. It might feel a bit awkward at first, but it's much easier on your hip.
Okay, I'll have to practice that one. What about getting dressed?
Always dress your surgical leg first. And when it comes to shoes, choose something with good support and traction, like a rubber-soled slip-on shoe. No heels or anything that requires a lot of bending over.
All right, sensible shoes. So we've got equipment, hip precautions, general therapy tips. Anything else I should know about recovery at home?
The exercises. We haven't talked about those yet.
They're exercises, right? Those are super important, aren't they?
Absolutely. NMC Health has a whole exercise program, both for before surgery and after surgery.
Okay, we already talked about the pre-surgery exercises, but what about the ones you do after surgery?
Those will be specific to the joint you had replaced. There's a different set for knee replacements and hip replacements.
Got it. Makes sense.
Yeah.
What are the knee replacement exercises?
They focus on four main exercises for the first 3 to 6 weeks. Short walks, knee bends, ankle pumps, and seated hamstring stretches. And they recommend doing those every hour, even if it's just for a few minutes.
Every hour. Wow.
Yeah. They really emphasize keeping that joint moving. It helps to prevent stiffness and improve circulation.
So even if I'm feeling tired, I should try to do those exercises every hour.
Exactly. Listen to your body, of course. But even a little bit of movement can make a big difference. Oh, and they also recommend a heel hang exercise where you basically just let your leg dangle off the edge of the bed for a bit. Helps to straighten your knee.
Interesting. Okay, so those are the knee exercises. What about for hip replacements?
For hip replacements, you'll be doing ankle pumps, glute squeezes, heel slides, hip abduction, and passive hip extension.
It's amazing how much emphasis they put on exercise, both before and after surgery.
It really is a crucial part of recovery. And they provide really detailed instructions and even weekly goals to help you stay on track.
That's so helpful. Now, in addition to those specific exercises, they also recommend walking, right?
Yes, walking is fantastic. It's one of the best ways to recover after a joint replacement, whether it's a knee or a hip.
Walking seems so simple, but I guess it's incredibly effective.
It really is. It helps to improve circulation, build strength, and increase endurance.
Okay, so walk, do my exercises, listen to my body. Any other words of wisdom for the recovery road ahead?
Remember, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Recovery takes time, and it's important to be patient with yourself. Celebrate those small victories along the way.
That's great advice. So we've covered so much in this deep dive. Pre-surgery prep, what to expect on the day of surgery, and all the details of recovering at home. Is there anything else we should touch on before wrapping up?
I think we've pretty much covered it all. But remember, this guide is just a starting point. It's so important to stay in close contact with your healthcare team throughout this entire process. They're the experts and can give you the best advice for your specific situation.
Great point. Communication is key. So to all of you out there getting ready for a hip or knee replacement, we hope this deep dive has been helpful and empowering.
Absolutely. Remember, you're not alone in this. With the right preparation, the right mindset, and the right support, you can achieve an amazing recovery and get back to doing all the things you love.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive. Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and keep on exploring.